it's happening in New York or across the globe. Learn why it matters first on Kevin McCullough Radio.
All right, coming up at the top of the next hour, Ken Blackwell will be with us. Longtime friend, but former Secretary of State for the state of Ohio, and as someone who executed elections and ran the entire mechanism and did so for a swing state, I feel like his perspective on this is really important. He knocked some points home really, really strongly in a weekend column for the American Spectator. And as there is more and more coming out from every corner of this country, technical experts coming forward, people on the record, affidavits. I don't think we're near this being completed yet. And so it's going to be interesting to see where all of it lands. So we will continue our coverage of that coming up. But I want to turn first to foreign affairs, foreign policy. Over the weekend, Iran was in the news for something that went down there. What does it really mean and what does it look like? And I'm so honored to have my next guest because she is not only the former Trump deputy national security advisor and not only the author of Revolution, Trump, Washington, and We the People, but she's also the civilian equivalent of a 3-star general when she was working for the Pentagon in a previous administration. And someone that every time I talk to her, I learn things and I become smarter because I did. So I always look forward to talking to her. And I think of her as a personal friend as well. KT McFarland, welcome back. Good to have you.
It's great to be with you, especially with that lovely introduction. Thank you.
The only thing I didn't talk about was, did you deep fry your turkey for Thanksgiving?
I knew you were going to ask that question. We did not. Did you?
No, we didn't. No, but you know, we have gone to spatchcocking them lately and they turn out quite nicely when you do that. And if you don't know what that is, you can look it up afterwards. But we'll move on to Iran. KT, what went down this weekend?
Well, we don't know who did it, although all fingers point to Israel. But there was a very sophisticated assassination of the father of the Iranian nuclear program in Iran. And it was done by a remote control vehicle, remotely detonated, and then the vehicle itself blew up. So the scientist himself was killed, and there were other people in this caravan, and they were injured. But the key to all of this, and the reason why it's important, is the Biden administration, if it comes in, has announced that it will rejoin the Iran nuclear deal and that it will probably do what they did before in the Obama administration, which has an anti-Israel policy, an anti-Sunni Gulf Arab policy, and a pro-Iran policy. And were they to do that, then I think Iran gets nuclear weapons. You know, the irony is that the Iran nuclear deal was sold to the American people as a way of stopping Iran's nuclear program. It was never that.
Yeah, it was the opposite.
It was the opposite. It was a way of getting Iran to delay for a few years their nuclear program, but at the same time to reward Iran by giving them a lot of extra money they then turned around and used for terrorism. And now we found out about a week or so ago from the International Atomic Energy Agency, which is the UN agency that monitors Iran and nuclear compliance, is that Iran was cheating all along. So they never abided by it. So this phony Iran nuclear deal, the Iranians are thinking, yikes, isn't this great? We're going to get it back again. The good old Biden administration is going to come in appointing all the same people who negotiated the Iran nuclear deal in the first place. So what does Israel do when it looks at that and says, ooh, the Iran nuclear deal, ooh, the Biden people are coming back. We need to make our move now while we can to stop Iran's nuclear program.
Do you think that, and I'm guessing that the answer is somewhat obvious, but that President Trump gave a nod and a wink to all this?
You know, the Israeli pattern in the past, and they've done these things with Syria, the Syrian nuclear program, nuclear weapons reactor, the Iraqi reactor. In the past, they've done it. They've never said they've done it. They've had no comment. They don't deny, they don't confirm, but they have no comment. And in the past, they've done it really without notifying other countries, but they've done it in a way that other countries may have objected, but it didn't amount to much more than hot air.
How close do we believe Iran is to a nuclear capacity?
Very close. If these reports of the International Atomic Energy Agency are accurate, Iran has been really working its way along towards a nuclear weapon. The other thing they've been doing is testing missiles. So if you have a nuclear weapon, how do you get it somewhere? You can't just put it on the back of a truck and drive it around the block. You need to have a missile that takes it from one place and where you're attacking the other place. And then we know that they've been developing intermediate and long-range missiles. So they've got, and then we know they've been enriching uranium. So they've got all the ingredients they need to make nuclear weapons. And we also know they're close because the Saudis, a few weeks ago, after Biden declared himself the president-elect, the Saudis came out and said, well, if this goes back to Iran getting a nuclear weapon, we're going to have to defend ourselves, and we're going to have a nuclear weapons program, too. So the whole Iran nuclear deal was sold on the premise that it was going to stop Iran's nuclear program, which it never did. And it was supposed to be great for the Middle East because it would prevent nuclear weapons from getting into the Middle East. And it hasn't done that either. So it's been a complete failure, but it's the only success the Obama administration had. And so a lot of these former Obama administration people who are now coming in to a potential Biden administration, they think they're still saying it's the greatest thing since sliced bread when it comes to going to ignite a nuclear arms race in the Middle East.
Well, and let's talk about that. So this year you saw Israel make nice with three former enemies, and there's discussions that Pompeo has been in Saudi Arabia in recent days trying to get them on board. Do we see an Israeli alliance with the Arab states, so to speak, presenting kind of a unified front against Iran in worst case?
It's important. I mean, you and I know this, but I think it's important for your listeners to understand that we think that the Middle East is Muslim, but they look at it as two versions of Muslim. So there's the Sunni Muslims, and that includes Saudi Arabia, Iraq, most of the rich Arab oil countries. And they're Arab, and they're Sunni. Then the other people in the Middle East who are Muslim are the Iranians. And they're Shiite, which is a much more radical form of their religion. And they're also Persians. And so they're ethnically very different people, and they've been hating each other and fighting with each other, back 3,000 years. So what President Trump organized is just phenomenal. They're called the Abraham Accords between Israel and the Sunni Arab countries.
KT, can you spend three more minutes breaking this down for
me?
Let's take a quick break and come right back. KT McFarland is with us, and if you have not gotten her latest book, you definitely should. It is called The Revolution, Trump, Washington, and We the People, and it tells her firsthand story of battling the deep state. Coming right back.
What you need to know when you need it. It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
All right, just a final few minutes here in the first hour, and then we've got Ken Blackwell and Dr. Gina Loudon and David Fisher all slated in hour two, and I hope you'll stick around for that. Plus, my final thought today coming up. KT McFarland is my guest, longtime security and national security expert. She's served multiple presidents and administrations, and her knowledge of this is pretty extensive. And she was just before the break kind of recounting for us why the Abraham Accords are so important, given the current state of where Iran is at and the potential that a Joe Biden administration would have on the situation. And KT, thanks for going into extra innings with me here just for a few minutes. The unified front idea that Israel has the backing of the Arab section of the Middle East is really important. Why?
Because that's, if you have peace between Israel and the Arabs, you don't have a war in the Middle East historically. But the reason it was possible was because of President Trump's economic and diplomatic plans. So by President Trump encouraging fracking and American energy and oil independence, all of a sudden the dynamic in the Middle East changed. We didn't need their oil anymore. And the smart Arab countries, particularly the ones with younger leaders, they looked and said, well, wait, America's energy independent, oil prices are never going to be where they were. Gee, we've got to diversify our economies, because so far the only way we have had any money at all in revenue, and we've had a lot of it, is from high oil prices. And so they look around the Middle East and said, what do we need to diversify our economies? We need peace, and we need peace with Israel. And we need joint investment and the ability to trade with Israel. So that's why the peace deal was made.
Right. And that economic development will kind of precede the national security interests, but it certainly enhances the ability of them to have a stronger voice towards Iran in the event that stuff goes bad.
Yeah, and if a Biden administration comes in, you can count on two things. A nuclear arms race in the Middle East, most dangerous part of the world, shouldn't even be allowed to play with matches. These guys are such a tinderbox. And then the second thing you'll see is higher oil prices and higher gasoline prices.
Yeah, well, plus he wants to do it with fracking, or at least that was his opinion at one point. He kept flipping on it. I can't tell which. Hey, KT McFarland, always a pleasure to get your insights on these things. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you, Kevin, and happy Thanksgiving and Merry Christmas.
There you go, and we still say it loudly around here. All right, there she goes. Get her book, Revolution, Trump, Washington, and We the People. She was part of the, they had her in the crosshairs with General Michael Flynn. All that stuff, I mean, it was a bunch of garbage, but she lived it, and her own story is told in those pages. Okay, hour number two is straight ahead. Let's go behind the scenes and talk to a Secretary of State who served a swing state and understands the complexities of these elections and what these now swing states that are enduring these court battles are facing. Kenneth Blackwell, former Secretary of State for the great state of Ohio, will join me to do just that. Kevin McCullough, Hour 2 up next. It's Kevin McCullough Radio.